You're listening to SBS News.
Victoria is back to COVID zero for now, with no new locally acquired cases in the past 24 hours. But health authorities are concerned about a drop in testing, with 17,600 tests in the past 24 hours, well down from the 50,000 a day range recorded recently. Chief Health Officer Professor Brett Sutton says authorities still don't know how a household of four in Melbourne's north acquired the virus, or how the couple in their 40s, who took a road trip to Queensland's Sunshine Coast, became infected.
The week ahead probably won't be all zeros. We've still got thousands of primary close contacts, some of whom may well become positive. That's not a concern as they quarantine for their entire period. But it's only been 48 hours since we've had cases of uncertain acquisition. So the family that have travelled to Queensland and the reservoir household are both still under investigation for exactly how it might have been acquired. So that's a real lesson that we may yet see cases. There's still lots of investigation to go and a really strong reason for everyone with symptoms to get tested, because you might be part of those unknown chains of transmission.
Queensland police say officers will interview the Melbourne couple when it's considered safe to do so. Since border restrictions were put in place in Queensland on the 28th of May, more than 3,000 vehicles have been checked and five people have been found to be breaching the rules. Police say some people made false declarations on their border passes, while others didn't even have border passes. All five have each received a $4,000 fine. Queensland's Chief Health Officer, Dr. Jeanette Young, says she's confident in the public health response on the Sunshine Coast, with people coming forward for testing. She says the Melbourne couple didn't have much virus left in their systems by the time they were tested in Queensland.
Their viral load was very low. So we just need to continue with what we're doing. But I am confident that if people do continue as they've been going, that we should be able to manage this going forward. But it's a little bit too early to relax.
Businesses forced to close their doors during Melbourne's lockdown are glad to be trading again. Melbourne hairdresser Melvin is relieved to be able to pick up his scissors.
It's good. It's good to be back. Just been home for 2 weeks. It's been pretty much doing nothing. So it's good to be back to doing some work and making some money and getting back to normal, you know.
But some businesses still aren't allowed to trade, including gyms. Melbourne gym owners like Drew Westfield say they're being unfairly singled out.
They've opened more high risk, in my eyes and opinions, in terms of whether it's a brothel that's been open, cafes, bars, where there's a large amount of people in there, with using the same theory that they've got, where if it's aerosols causing the issue, it's going to be the same issue there as well.
The second death of an Australian from a rare clotting disorder that's thought to be linked to their AstraZeneca vaccination has led to a renewed focus on vaccine hesitancy. The 52-year-old New South Wales woman died from a fatal blood clot in the brain after receiving the vaccine a couple of weeks ago. Health officials say there have been 15 severe cases of the rare clotting disorder in Australia, out of 3.6 million AstraZeneca doses, while 33 people have experienced less serious complications. Infectious diseases expert Professor Robert Boy has told the Nine Network the death needs to be kept in perspective.
What's important is that GPs and emergency departments are now able to diagnose this clotting condition much more quickly, much earlier, and as a result, people are getting treatment which is life-saving. So the death rate now, instead of being 40% when the syndrome was recognised, is already now well under 10%. Now, that's still not good enough. We've got to get down to negligible, but we don't need to change the program at the moment.
42-year-old Malaysian migrant Kelvin Chia from Melbourne has had his initial dose of Pfizer and is looking forward to receiving his second dose later this month. He believes the dangers posed by the virus outweigh any vaccination risks.
There is always risk underlying anything, any vaccine, and especially if this vaccine is new, and probably, I guess, everybody, including myself, was quite concerned when it was just introduced. that if there were any side effects. But considering the fact the ratio of the people that has died against the number of people that are vaccinated, it is, again, in my opinion, that the benefits outweigh, you know, the risks.
While the rare blood clotting syndrome sees some people anxious about AstraZeneca, there's some generalised vaccine hesitancy too. The executive director of the Multicultural Women's Health Centre in Melbourne, Dr. Adele Modolo, says some young migrants have expressed concerns.
The research is definitely showing that there are some cohorts where vaccine confidence is lower, and that does include people who speak a language other than English, and it includes women, particularly in the kind of 20 to 40 age group. But I'd also like to complicate that idea about vaccine hesitancy, because in some cases it's not, you know, obviously it's not available to people under 40 yet, the vaccine. So we really do need to, I guess, wait until that is available to know what is actually happening for people.
The health and support measures currently in place in response to the COVID-19 pandemic in your language, visit sbs.com.au/coronavirus. Greg Diet, SBS News.